Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning into the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow, or they call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, getting ready to take us on a boxing ride, if he can find some boxing happening around the country, Bob Murray, our radio aficionado. How you doing, Bob?
Okay, Aaron, great to hear you. Yeah, not much happening around the world, but we do have an announcement that Poland is going to have a show on June 12th. It'll be Maurice Rock, the heavyweight, 35-6, 19 KOs, taking on Kevin Johnson, 34-16-1, 18 KOs. And it's going to be a live stream. You can get it at eventtv.global, $475 US, will get you that. But we did have some boxing last weekend, though, two venues, one in Nicaragua and then one in South Korea, we also found out about, too. And you had a chance to see the fight in Nicaragua and how they handled all the coronavirus and all the restrictions and regulations.
Yeah, well, I had a chance to watch it. They were streaming it live over Facebook when I caught it. It was very interesting how they handled the social distancing. There was no ringside seats, Bob, and the corner people had masks and gloves and stuff on. The referee and two opponent guys fighting each other, they didn't have masks on when they fought. And the real interesting thing was the ring announcer had a mask on, and he went to announcing a fight with a mask on. I said, now, isn't that something?
Yeah. I'm surprised the referee has a mask, though, he said.
Yeah. It's and they had social distancing going on. There was no seats around ringside, so that was all open around ringside except where the officials sat. And from what I can see from the TV angle of what I was watching on Facebook, it looked like the officials at ringside had social distancing on with masks. So if that's what it's going to look like in the future, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, like you said before, Bob, when this all first went down, you know, after the NBA had announced that they were closing down, then it was like a chain reaction was happening in the sports world on boxing. Follow suit with the amazing cancellations of fights all over the world, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you know, there's something to announce to all sports fans across the world. We did get news yesterday that NASCAR is going to return 2 weeks from tomorrow. They're going to do some races in North Carolina, since most of the bases or the team bases are in North Carolina. So they're going to do two at Darlington and two at Charlotte, and they're going to actually do Wednesday night racing, too. So they're going to be empty seats, though. And, you know, when it comes down to it, the NASCAR guys are a little occupied. They're not really care who's in the stands, you know, when it comes down to it. I think you're focused on the car. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see that, though. That's happening. So we know NASCAR is coming back. That's the next sport that we're hearing about.
Well, in North Carolina, where I live, you know, our dear friend, Humpy Wheeler, where he has the Boxing Hall of Fame, North Carolina Boxing Hall of Fame. He owns the racetrack, Mr. Wheeler, and he's a former boxer. When he was young, he boxed as an amateur. So that's interesting, Bob.
To get
Humpy Wheeler on the phone with us and let him tell us the story about all of that NASCAR and that big, fine track that he got in. The Race Car Hall of Fame is down there, NASCAR.
Right. Yeah.
Along with the Boxing Hall of Fame is down there also. So, you know, it's nice that they're bringing that. Let's hope that when they open this thing up and sports get going back, that this COVID-19 don't start to spread rampantly among people.
Come back around, right, yeah.
It was because, exactly. Bob, you know, early on, I think it was in Asia somewhere, they had a fight on March 21st, and a lot of people went to that fight, and a lot of people got sick with COVID-19 that went to that boxing match.
Right.
So we just ask that everybody keep their hands up and protect yourself at all times.
Right.
Just start going out and about. You know, it's really something this here. And if the virus is deadly, even though the people that are dying are lessening. However, there's still a lot of people losing their life with this here. That's our deadly.
236,000 plus, you know, we're looking at right now as far as fatalities. Yeah, 3.2 million and counting people around the world who have been infected. But, yeah, 236,000 plus is a number now. You know, we have a couple of things to talk about, too, just some quick news. In the boxing world, the UK was talking, the WBC, talking about closed events happening in July, but they're looking at restrictions again. No one over 70 allowed. That was interesting to see that one. And anybody at risk, they weren't going to allow in. And what else are we looking at? That Wilder Povetkin fight, they're saying, is still going to happen in July or August, and it could be in front of no one. And one thing we do know, though, that Canelo Alvarez in the Triple G third fight is out for September. That's not happening. A couple of people are in the news too, though. Pacquiao Crawford might be happening later on in the summer in either the Mideast or in Macau, China, which is an interesting point too. And also a guy we had on our show not too long ago, Michael Nunn. He's 56 years old, and he's going to have a kickboxing match exhibition with the UFC Hall of Famer Pat Miletich. And a couple other guys have been seen sparring lately. Mayweather and Tyson both are working out. But the good thing about Mayweather, too, in the past round, he talked about giving money to see people, and he's keeping it real low-key, and he's not really, like, making a big to-do over where he's giving it, but he made the announcement he's pitching in to help. So I guess a lot of starving boxers, too, I believe, is a lot of that as well.
Yeah, we'll see how all that, but if he's into doing charity work, I think it's good that fighters get in. There's not a lot of need with that. But, you know, like I all the time say, Floyd can do a lot to help boxing. You know, we have Mr. Duffy, who's president now of the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame. They started that fund with Ring 8 where he was the president. And, you know,
right.
Henry Haynes Cups with that treasure and all that. You know, I think how you get more impact with something and doing and trying to help people is a collaborative effort. When people and organizations, especially in the nonprofit sector, when you collaborate together, you get more bang for your buck. And with somebody like Mayweather, who's putting money out like that and he's raising money, if he puts in his mind, say, look, these established organizations that are already helping boxers like Ring 8, Boxers Helping Boxers, he could donate to them. And they got a food chain with people that are needy fighters. If he wants to help them, they already have an inlet to that. And he won't be not counted because, you know, them guys are great. They don't count nobody out. Like that. If you're in a collaborative effort with them, they're going to let the whole world know when they're pounding the payment and getting it done, you know. So I think Floyd should look at some of those options. I think he would have a lot of greater impact on the sport than just going around doing it himself. If he goes and raise money and then feeds the nonprofits. That's what foundations do. You know, Mayweather Foundation that he has, foundations feed nonprofits. And that's where nonprofits get their money from, foundations.
Right.
You know, grant money and stuff like that when they make an initiative so nonprofits can write in to see if they qualify to get the foundation money or a grant. So that's how that food chain works. And if he puts his thinking cap on and starts feeding great organizations like Ring 8 with Boxers Helping Boxers, the New York Boxing Hall of Fame, and also the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, and you have the National Boxing Hall of Fame. You know, when you team up, working together does work when you work together, and that's been vastly proven, especially during these hard times, because every dollar counts and every penny counts, you know. So when you're trying to put lessons on people, that's how you can make it happen.
Got it. Hey, also, I just wanted to bring out, again, well, I mentioned Tyson, but Mike Tyson, talked about him working out, and he's out doing a charity exhibition, too. I didn't see exactly what charity that's for, too, but, again, Mike Tyson doing something for charity as well.
Well, you know, back then, Mike used to do a lot of charity work and a lot of charity events. He took a leaf out of Don King's book with the Mike Tyson Turkey Tours when he was heavyweight champion. He went to poor neighborhoods, people that were downtrodden and poor, and the ones left out, the ones kicked to the side. And he gave turkeys around Thanksgiving to a lot of people in different cities that wouldn't have the opportunity to have a good meal or turkey during the holidays of Thanksgiving. You know, Mike Tyson wrote many checks, big checks to many Islamic societies and stuff like that to help people, and checks to Jewish society, and gave money to churches and stuff like that, and part of charity. I believe that, it shows when he does stuff like that, that's the better side of Mike Tyson that a lot of times people forget and people don't get to see him. And I think that's a good thing for him to be out like that in that kind of spirit of giving and raising, is because when you need help, when you help somebody, you'll always be helped. And if he does that, the blessings flow abundantly by doing stuff like that, Bob.
Yeah, great. It is good news to hear. So why? Yeah, good.
It is great. So we have our boxing historian Henry Hascop just tuned in with us. Welcome into the World Boxing Review Radio Show, Henry. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was outside this morning mowing the lawn. I haven't done that in a while. With my little grandson Josh, it kind of wore me out, but I'm okay now. You were talking about people giving. You know, I know you called me up yesterday about an organization, and the WBC wants to help out. The fellow boxers also, and you know, that's a great organization. So is the IBF. You know, they want to help out as much as possible. So if anybody that's in the boxing fraternity, you don't have to be a boxer. You know, because I was even talking yesterday, some of these guys that are work the corner, like they're cut men. You know, they go to these fights and they get a stipend, you know, a pretty good paycheck for working the corner, maybe of a few fights, per week or per month. And now, that's cut off too. So we can't forget them people either. The people that are working behind the scenes, people in gyms and everything like this. I mean, they're all suffering financially, and one of our friends that you know very well, he lives in Newark, he asked just for a little bit of food, I got him a couple of $100 through Ring 8 and through New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame and a couple of other organizations, that's just a drop in the bucket, because you feed him, you give him a couple hundred bucks, that might be good for a week or so. And then, you're back in square one. So, hopefully, you were talking about Mayweather and all this kind of stuff. And, it would be great if, people like him and De La Hoya and, Top Rank and, the promoters would get behind these guys too. Some of these big big names would go out and sign autographs. You know, they'll have an autograph session, you know, every other week or, you know, at a different place, and they would get, you know, quite a bit of money. And now that's cut off too. And, you know, so there's a lot more than meets the eye on who actually needs the help of the boxing fraternity. You know, we're all in this together, and if we all gel together, I think we can get by. You know, we just can't just think about the fighters. You got to think about the other people that work behind the fighters too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But you know, like we all the time say when we're doing do this stuff with kids, we have to teach them to learn to earn. And you know, a lot of that are learning to earn and creating opportunities for somebody to earn money outside the game that they can always tap into to get money and then create those kinds of opportunities and, for emergency assistance, and then get them an opportunity so they can earn some dollars too, so they can learn to earn at the same time. You know, the well runs dry when people keep pulling and pulling and pulling, and nothing is given back. You know, and that's what it's all about. You know, we like we do. We feed a lot of kids through different programs that we set up, but at the same time, we're teaching kids getting food for free, but you have to sweep the floor. You have to wipe down the tables. You got to do this. You got to do that. Keep your trash cans clean around here. And it teaches them to learn to earn. And sometimes we get phone calls where people say, hey, look, we're looking for a person to sweep the floor or clean this place up for us. Do you have anybody? Haven't anybody in mind we're paying? You say, yeah, we got this little young man. He does a great job. Well, send him on over. Now that the young man has now seen from him getting a free meal, learning to take the trash and stuff out, is that kind of behavior brings a paycheck to you. And it just just about the children. And volunteering is like that. You know, sometimes when when you volunteer your time, people see your heart. People can get a touch on you of how you are as an individual, how you are as a person. And people know that anybody can fall down with luck. You know, sometimes it's like that. You reach a tough spot in your life, you fall down, but you got to pick yourself back up. You got to keep on going. And when you volunteer, just like Henry, the dinners you do to raise money. If you had many boxes and stuff, volunteer for just little things that you need during an event, and people see them there participating, helping, you know, it gives more for business people that may be buying tables and stuff for men. They say, oh, man, that's the champion. He's helping like that. I can use a guy like that over my business, man. Yeah, man, tell him to come on over here with me. You know, sometimes they drive them somewhere, you know, to drive a guy around, you know, or they need them to go drive their kids to soccer practice and all. I know all of that kind of stuff is dead now, but that's the way opportunities open up for people. You have to be around when people are at these nonprofit events. And, you know, like Ring 8, man, you know, to see all the stuff that Ring 8 and Bob Duffy with New York Boxing Hall of Fame now, they do such a magnificent job that have fighters on their board, you know. I know there's some fighters that sit on the boards of directors. That's a lot to see a former champion sitting on the board, and when things are being said, and, you know, they get a different feel of how a fighter or a person that's really participating on the front lines of boxing at a board meeting. You know, he sits on the board, and that's what these other fighters have to start trying to do. They have to participate. Just don't wait till you need help when you finish the game. While you're in the game, start participating. And then it makes much more easier for people once you slip and slide. And hard times might fall on you. People say, oh, man, that's a hell of a guy, man. While he was champion, he was doing this and he was doing that. So it's all a feel that people have for you, you know? And who don't want to be around a champ?
Yeah, not everybody. Everybody wants to see that. And that's very good what you said. That's, you know, I mean, people don't realize, you know, what goes through, you know. But things like that make it even better, you know. The you know, these business people, you know. The thing is that you know, nowadays, you know, the former fighters, you know, they're either, you know, they're not, let's say, they don't join these organizations like Ring 8 or New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame or Ring 1 or Ring 4. You know, these are the rings around the place, the Ring 25. You know, they just sit home and, you know, they don't join. So we don't even know if they need help, you know, unless they're, you know, a big famous fighter that's down and out, you know, like, you know, a couple of heavyweight champions that we know of, you know, that need money and need help. But the average fighter, you know, they just... you know, sit home and, you know, they don't even know these organizations are out there for them, you know, and, you know, we're here to help, you know, in any way, you know, either get them off their feet, maybe even get them some kind of job or get them, you know, maybe food in their mouth or pay their rent and pay their hospitalization, you know, I mean, we don't have enormous amount of money, but, you know, once in a while, you know, if I put something out saying so-and-so needs help, you know, and, or, you know, I don't really mention names, but I mention, you know, about the person and everything like this, and people will call me up, organizations, and they'll donate, you know, they donate their money and their time, and, you know, it's a wonderful thing when they do that, you know, we've done that quite a few times, and, you know, it's, you know, like I said, it's a family, but, like I said, some of these guys, they don't even know these organizations exist, and they're asking, you know, and they need the help.
And plus, you know, sometimes a fighter don't know how to handle certain situations, you know. You know, they may have somebody say, well, hey, look, I want to donate some money or something. Who can I donate? You know, you bring the resource to one of the non-profit, and they'll help you. They might put a ward in your name with the money that you gave or the company's name, you know, for their big event. You know, there's all different types of ways. You know, people be trying to put in, and, you know, guys who are champion and fighters meet people all the time. Hey, man, I want to do something to help, man. How can I participate in the game, you know, blah, blah, blah. You tell them, say, hey, look, I know this organization, call them up. You want to make a donation, make the donation, get the donation in your name, or tell them you're donating because of me. You know, there's always different ways to do it. But but the main thing is that they have to participate. That's the key. You have to participate. Like if in Philly, you know, they got Ring One. Man, go down there and see the people. Tell them you want to be a part. You know, there's different rings all over the country, man. Just go over.
Yeah, Ring One is in Philadelphia. Ring 4 is up in New England states, you know, we have Ring 8, you got Ring 10, you know, you got Ring 25, you know, they're in the metropolitan area. So, you know, they're out there. You got Ring 44, you know, and I think it's in Buffalo. There's a few other ones out there, you know, and you know, years ago there was like 100 of them. You know, every state had quite a few. Even New Jersey, I think they had 10 alone. And so they took care of their own. If anybody was like a member or that club, they would help out. Now there's just a handful of boxing, veteran boxing organizations out there, and it's a lot harder to you can't supply welfare to every fighter out there. You just don't have the income coming in to do that. But we do our best, and if we can't do it, we'll get in contact with somebody in their area that can help them out, so hopefully,
yeah.
That's the way you got to do it, I know you're a big help because they'll come to you, and then you give them my name, and I get on the horn and I try to raise some money for these people or the organizations I belong to. I get the money from them, and we get the job done. We don't turn anybody away, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, because everybody falls short at some time. You can't keep flying high in the sometimes you got to come down to go back up in the air. Hard time, especially during these times. There's so many people laid off. And there's boxers that have a job, boxers that fight, and, with not being able to fight and laid off, their incomes are lessened. So that we're making a plea for. Reach out to us so we can try to get you and stuff like that to get you some help. It may be raining real hard on you, but maybe we can slow the rain down so it becomes a drizzle, and that you can put a coat or something on and protect you from the little drizzle instead of the downpour.
Well, like I said, there are fighters and boxing people out there that need our help, and we have been helping them out. And if there's anybody else out there, just give me a call or contact Aaron. He can contact me, and we can, maybe do something for you, and get you back on your feet, give you a little boost, like Aaron said, and maybe that, that pain and stuff will, subside a little bit, and, we can get through this together. It's not over. We just got the word yesterday from my town in Lodi, New Jersey, that there's not going to be summer camp, for Lodi, and all the summer activities are done for the year. So now we're looking for the fall. So it's going to be a long, long summer, for all these kids, and it's just something we have to go through, and hopefully everybody, the New York, New Jersey area really got hit bad. It was just, I think, 31. I live in a small town. It's only like 2 miles square. And 30 people died from this corona, disease. So almost 600 people were affected. So, I know personally 20 people that passed away, from the boxing and from neighbors and stuff like this. So it's not a good time. I don't know what else to say, but if there's any boxers out there, or boxing people, like I said, you could be a cut man, a handler, a promoter or something like this, that you need a couple of bucks to get through, need a couple of bucks to put food in your mouth or something like this, give us a call. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, and plus the COVID-19, we lost the owner of a gym in New York City. We lost a great referee, Eddie Cotton in Patterson, New Jersey.
Yeah, he was over my house, Eddie Cotton. you know, and he's been at my house, and he lived in Patterson. That's where I grew up, and you know, I was shocked because we do a couple of things together with the AAIB, and also with Jerry Cooney's charity. He would be the referee, and when Jerry Cooney would get in there with let's say the ex-governor or something like this, and I'd be the ring announcer, and you know, we'd have a great time doing that together. And now he's gone, just like that. And he was in good shape. I mean, he was a great golfer. I mean, you know, him and Earl Brown used to, win the tournament for the AIB just about every year. And just one of them things. I mean, it could hit anybody. You know, like you could be an athlete or you can be, an elderly person. You know, it's not immune to these guys. So it's rough.
Yes, it is rough. But to change gears for a second, you know, with all of this COVID-19, everybody's locked down in. You know, it come time for computer time and TV time, Bob. You know, there's some great boxing movies, you know.
Oh, my heavens, yeah. You know, there's a lot of stuff to watch. Yeah, we could tell you a few things about some boxing news. I just wanted to comment one more thing, speaking of events and what Henry was saying. That is the World Series, Little League World Series is officially canceled, too. I mean, you can see that happening. The international teams and all that. Yeah, the international teams aren't coming. But, you know, just speaking of Little League, you know, that's at the end of the game, there's no World Series. So just wanted to pass that along, too, before we get into the movie thing.
Yeah, hey, look, a lot of things are shutting down, but, you know, they're talking about reopening everything. You know, it looks kind of bumpy. I all the time say, you better protect yourself at all times and don't let your guard down, it's because this virus is on devastating blows and it'll take you up out of here. So you just got to be very, very vigilant when you're out here, outside going in the places. Make sure you keep your social distancing. Make sure you wash your hands, your face. When you come back, you know, change clothes, wash them clothes, take a or, you know, when you've been out for time around people, you know, you got to stay vigilant like that. And our thing also, Bob and Henry, you know, when the gyms open up, you know, this is going to be a very, very tough time, you know, for guys training, because in boxing you sweat so much perspiration when you're training, sparring, you know, rinsing your mouth out, like spitting and saliva, you know, there's going to be a lot. So there's a lot, you know, for these gym owners and these fighters to think very, very and act very, very cautiously when this thing does open up, and if they do open gyms up, how you're prepared. And, you know, we're going to have to talk to our great commissioner, Larry Hazard. What does he plan if when it do opens up, you know, are they going to test people for the COVID-19 before they let them climb in the ring? You know, HIV was like that, and then they started testing before that. So, you know, with Larry Hazard, one of the great commissioners of New Jersey, and Larry Hazard's always on the cutting edge of stuff, you know, and that's things that we're going to have to get him on the show to talk to Larry Hazard about, see what he plans, because he's a thinker out the box and he's for the boxers and bettering the sport all around. And to have those conferences, you know, a lot of people are doing this video conference and things like that. Even if you have a conference to teach guys how to clean the gym and how to teach fighters how to wipe their gloves and headgear down after you're sparring, and how you handle the clothing, your clothing, what to do with that, and how to protect yourself while you're inside the gym walking around, you know, when they do open this thing up. So, you know, those are some thoughts that are on my mind. from being spending so much time in training facilities and gyms, you have to think like that, you know, on the edge and on and about. But, and also, we might as well get back to them movies, Bob. You know, people lounging around, they might as well, you know, we love boxing. We may not be able to see, you know, some actual live fights, but there are replay fights, and but nothing beats a great boxing movie, man.
Right, right. Hey, that was all the way back, you know, the earliest I found we hit is 1901. There was a two-minute documentary. It was actually one of the first films they made of a live event.
Yeah, it was
and,
the Gordon Sisters,
it was
weren't
called
it?
The Gordon Sisters Boxing. There you go. And I knew we'd get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a one-round bout. And the Gordon Sisters.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think
it
women fought. I think it was two women.
Yeah, yeah, the Gordon Sisters, yeah.
The Gordon
Minute.
Yeah.
Gordon, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then,
yeah,
you know, you had like Buster Keaton. He also.
Oh, yeah, he did
that
battling Butler.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
Butler.
That was, then,
I think.
Yeah, then Hitchcock
the,
did one in 1927, a silent film,
yeah.
The Ring. Hitchcock did the next year, too, yeah.
Yeah, I think
one
of the. I think one of the better movies was in 1931, The Champ. With Wallace Beery,
yep,
and
yeah,
Jackie
the
Cooper.
Champ, Wallace Beery, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they
Cooper.
Had a remake back around 1979 or 80 or something like that with you know, Ricky Schroeder and John Voight.
Ricky
stuff Shirley. Like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had quite a few of them.
Funny movie is with Jerry Lewis, right, in the ring in this boxing movie. With him dancing around, you know, Jerry Lewis was a clown anyhow.
Oh yeah,
that's
on YouTube. That's on YouTube. The guy hit him and he just went he was throwing his hands all over the place and doing all kind of dancing.
Yeah, dancing.
Speaking of two different movies, you know, there were two different Kid Galahads, too, remember, back in 37. It was like Bogart,
yeah,
and Edward G. Robinson, and then,
yeah,
it was like 62. Elvis Presley musical came on, man.
Yeah.
It was quite a different movie, but the same.
Yeah.
Movie.
Well, Gentleman Jim was a pretty good one.
Gentleman
Errol
Jim,
Flynn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Errol
with,
Flynn.
You know,
yeah.
And Body and Soul, that was a good, and
Body
Champion,
and Soul, yeah.
You know, when you have Kurt Douglas.
The Champion with
you
Kurt
know,
Douglas,
he just
yeah,
passed away.
Right.
He was over 100-some years old and stuff like this. Harder
yeah,
Than Fall. You know, the
Harder
Than
Fall.
Fall. Someone
yeah.
Up
yeah,
There
yeah,
Likes
yeah,
Me.
Yeah,
you know, that was Rocky Graziano.
Mm-hmm.
You got Recommend for a Heavyweight. You know, they had Mountain Rivera with
Mountain
Anthony
Rivera.
Quinn. And actually, yeah, that was actually, yeah. You know, they said, you know, who was really a Mountain Rivera? That, the guy, Quinn, got the actually voice and the mannerism from a New Jersey fighter by the name of A.B. Bame. You know, he was a middleweight contender back in his day. And, you know, he went up to fight the light heavyweight championship of the world against Gus Lesovich. And the thing was, it was based on him, you know, fighting like Tony Galento. You know, he went up and fought like a heavyweight, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't do too well in that. And, you know, that's basically Mountain Rivera. Anthony Quinn actually got the voice and everything from A.B. Bame. Of course, then he
mm-hmm.
got the Rocky movies. I mean, they were, you know, they,
all eight,
they were
yeah,
kind
eight of them.
Yeah, that's all. I
think people wore out about Rocky, but some great old-time
yeah.
ones to watch is Jack Dempsey fight and win in 1924 when he was in the fight, and then The Flying Fist with Benny Leonard. Those movies from the 1924 era. In 1920, a film to watch that is good was the Big Fight. And,
mm-hmm.
don't forget, when you want to go through the history of time, Muhammad Ali had some great movies, some old documentary films with him you know, of Ali, from the greatest.
Yeah.
I'm Ali. We Were Kings. The great
right,
white
right,
that
was that
was about Jack Johnson. Huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Those
are some great films. And don't forget Eddie Mustafa Muhammad played in the movie too.
Oh yeah. He did. Yeah. I remember that.
Hey, Jack Dempsey was in a movie too called The Prize Fighter and the Lady, also with a comedy back. Max Baer was in it.
Yeah, Max Baer, Tony,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of guys. I mean, the Raging Bull was one of the best pitchers around, you know,
that's
Jake LaMotta, stuff like this. Million Dollar Baby.
So we had The Fighter, Mickey Ward story. Yeah, Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, yeah, in fact,
Cinderella
I just
Man.
Watched that last night. that last night. And Bleed for This, you know, with Vinny Pazienza. You got Creed.
Yeah.
Of course, the Cinderella Man is one of my favorites. You know, he's a guy that was on welfare and, you know, he's working at docks, hardly can get a penny, you know, earn a penny, and then he became, heavyweight champion of the world. And then another one is The Hurricane, which, you know, there's a lot of inconsistencies about that, you know, but Denzel Washington played a great part.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, he's a great actor. And then they have a new one, of course, Chuck, about Chuck Wevner, you know, the real story about Chuck Wevner. You know, he was one of the, you know, he still associates with me. I don't know if you ever heard of the Resurrection of the Champ. I think that's what he called it.
Right. That's the homeless man, yeah.
Yeah, the homeless man. Yeah. He said he was Bob Satterfield, who was one of the top heavyweight contenders, a great punch and everything like this. They were going to write this big story about him, and they found out that he wasn't Bob Satterfield, but he was another fighter by the name of Harrison. And the thing was, Harrison was a pretty darn good fighter, too. He was rated in the top 10, both in the light heavyweight and heavyweight divisions. So I don't know why he had to change his name, you know, to Bob Satterfield. I mean, but I thought that was a pretty darn good movie. You know, it didn't get the publicity it should have gotten, but I thought it was very good.
We even have musicals. Remember that there was a Danny Kaye musical, The Kid from Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
Back in 1946.
Yeah. I think it was The Kid from Brooklyn.
All
like that, right?
The Kid from Brooklyn, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The Kid.
Yeah. Well, there's so many.
A great one, too, back in. Another great one with William Holden. Remember The Golden Boy, too.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
1939.
Yep.
Jimmy Cagney had a couple.
Oh, Jimmy Cagney had quite a few, and they're pretty good.
Yeah, Winter Ball, C for Conquest.
Uh-huh.
Right. Hey, remember the movie called The Boxer with Daniel Day-Lewis starring? It was about Danny Flynn and his involvement with allegedly involved with the IRA. I forget what year that came out, but anyway,
yeah. Yeah, I think it came out in 97.
Maybe in the 90s. Yeah, about 90s.
Boy, right?
Yeah.
I should say, Boy O'Donnell, the America film with about Don King. That did very well in the box office.
Yeah.
Remember good over. Here's a good over for you guys. 1931, The Iron Man. That was a boxer. He was losing. His wife finally left him and he started winning that.
Yeah, then he became good.
Exactly.
Yeah, he became good.
And,
The Ring.
Yeah,
you know.
So was how about Night in the City with De Niro? That was from the 90s.
Yeah.
He was crooked lawyer. He came from order. That was fun.
Yeah, well, like I said, there's a lot of boxing movies out there. You could sit down and spend the whole weekend watching just boxing movies, you know. It's and I like the ones that are like more fact based, you know, with the Cinderella Man, and you know, stuff like that. I like the fact, you know, if it's a true thing. And the thing about me that if something like it's not right in the movie. I said, oh, man, that's not right. He didn't do that. And my wife says, shh, you're the only one that knows that, you know. That's, yeah, I know. Even exactly. The Field of Dreams, you know, I watch that all the time. And my son, he says this to his son now, you know, Shoeless Joe Jackson, he wasn't righty, he was lefty, you know, he was lefty, you know. He said, why do you make him righty, you know, and my kids used to say, you're the only one that knows that. I said, well, you know it now, too. You know, I bet you're going to say it to your kids.
Right.
And sure enough, they say it all the time. But they're great.
Mike Tyson, remember Mike Tyson?
Oh, yeah, Mike Tyson, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I heard yesterday, I don't know if this is true, I heard yesterday Mike Tyson, I know he's training. He's training for Chum's charity bouts. And there's talk.
Right.
Now, I don't know how true this is. Him wanting to fight Wilder. And he was on the Randy Gordon show yesterday. Not him, but Jerry Cooney was. And they were talking about that. You know, would you pay to see that? You know, Tyson, he was born, I think, in 1966. So, I mean, he's like 50. He's going to be 54 years old.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And, you know, I think it's June 30th. The reason why I remember that is because one year later, I start working for public service right on that same date. So, would you pay to see Mike Tyson against Dante Wilder? I said, I would probably pay to see it, but I'd be scared to death of what's going to happen.
He don't throw a lot of punches. And
no,
one
but he only has to throw one.
Yeah, he only has to throw one. But, you know, at Mike's stage of the game, he going to pitch. And them first three rounds is going to be hell.
Yeah.
Even at this stage of the game, it's going to be hell. And with Mike, it
yeah,
only
well,
takes
that's what
one.
Most people were saying. Yeah, most people were saying that, you know, Tyson would come out like a ball of fire, you know, in the first round or so. And then after that, you know, if Wilder, you know, can get by that, which I, you know, if he's smart, he can. Yeah.
But Wilder don't throw enough punches, and he doesn't have. The type of jab that Lennox Lewis had, or he's not the type of fighter like a Holyfield. It's something that's interesting. All I say, Henry, I just hope Mike ain't doing it for the money. And
yeah,
you don't
I know.
Because, you know, he had a neck injury. You know, he had to get operated on his neck and stuff before.
Yeah.
And at this stage of the game, at 53, I just hope if he's going to do it, he prepares. You know,
yeah.
if he prepares, you know, things can happen for him. 2-3 rounds, you'll be amazed at what. Hey, look, a guy like Mike Tyson, the way he can punch, a fighter never loses that punch.
Yeah,
and I don't think Don T. Wilder's a great pitcher. So Mike can handle those one type of wild bombs he throws at him. Mike can get up under all of that, even at this age. But somewhere along the line, Dante Wilder, after just being beaten up like this, he go in there with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson clip him. Forget about it.
Yeah, but Tyson hasn't fought since 1991, so, so that's a long time.
Yeah. Sometimes the hungriest fighter is the best fighter. I don't care what stage of the game it's at. He's going to give you the hell he wants.
Yeah, 2005, I made a mistake. He fought up until 2005, you know, so that's 15 years he didn't fight. So, you know, 15 years, that's... It's a long, I mean, people have come back, you know, after 15, you know, you know, one guy came back after 30 some years, just a month or so ago. But you know, I don't know. I hope it don't happen. That's the thing. I'm just hoping it's just talk. You know, I don't want to see anybody, you know, get hurt. You know, Wilder, he has one of the best right hands ever in boxing. And if he ever landed on, you know, Mike, who is not going to be as fast as he used to be, you know, his bobbing, weaving, he was hard to hit. You know, I don't know how long he can do that. You know, he'd have to do at least three or four rounds just to, you know, like you said, though, he'll never lose his punch. But, you know, the reflexes aren't there. You know, and, you know, you just don't, you know, just jump in the ring after 15 years. And he didn't look good in his last few fights anyway. You know, he looked like just an average fighter, you know. So hopefully it don't come about. Hello?
It's okay. Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here.
Yeah, I was wondering if Aaron was there.
Okay.
Yet.
I don't know.
Oh, Aaron?
I don't hear Aaron.
Yeah, he cuts out. Well, we got about
okay.
8 minutes remaining. Aaron, you there?
I'm going back to a couple TV. Yeah. Let me just tell you a little, tell people about a couple TV episodes, two great boxing ones. Twilight Zone, you know, you spoke of the Wake Room for a Heavyweight written by Rod Serling. And there was a great episode called Big Tall Wish, Bowie Jackson story. And, you know, about a guy going out to, you know, get older. But the interesting thing was, I also just watched today, One Step Beyond. It was an old show, TV program.
Oh, I used to love that.
And so, Charles Bronson was on this one. It's called The Last Round. It's about a haunted gymnasium. And in the background, when they were talking, there was a poster for the Bowie Jackson fight that was from the Twilight Zone set. You know, that was just
wow.
Too wild to see that. And then there was another one,
nice.
Too, Lee Marvin starred in. Yeah, Lee Marvin was in the one written by Richard Matheson, who was a great science fiction writer, did a lot of TV and movies.
Yeah.
But that was about the robot fighters.
Yeah.
Lee Marvin had to imitate a robot there, yeah. They got clobbered.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you ever watched Donovan, you know, they had it on for several years, and they had a lot of posters in the background of different fights, you know, so, you know. You know,
right.
Going to an old boxing gym, that's it's really, you know, it's history, you know, especially with the posters in the background, and, you know, it really makes it look nice, and you know, memories, you know, I see a poster, you know, and I say, oh, it's so-and-so, you know, and be watching the movie, and you know, I'd be thinking about the fight then, you know, that happened in that because of the poster, you know, so it's no, like I say, boxing has a rich history, and there's probably more boxing films out there, you know, movies, than any other sport. I mean, you know, it's pretty easy to make them, because, you know, the cream rises to the top, you know, with the Rockies and the Raging Bulls and the Cinderella Man and the Creed and all this kind of stuff. They're the best of the best, and, you know, we mentioned all the other ones. I mean, they're very good good films to watch, especially like you know, the ones that are based on a true story. That's what I like. And you know, these guys, they you know, it's just wonderful to reminisce. You go back in time, and I know they had stories on Jack Dempsey, and Joe Louis had a, you know, movie about him with Coley Wallace. He looked like Joe Louis, and he beat Rocky Marciano in the amateurs. He played Joe Louis in a Joe Louis story, which was a little, you know, a little corny, you know, the film, but I liked it because a few boxing people played in it, and you know, it was pretty, you know, good to me anyway.
Yeah. One more movie I want to bring up, too, a documentary for Anna. Hey, Unforgivable Blackness, the rise and fall of Jack Johnson from 2004.
Yes, right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, with that, you know, because it was a documentary film, you know, there's a lot more facts that he could have used in a documentary to pull something like that together. But it was all right film, you know.
Who's that? Earl Jones. He played Jack Johnson.
Yeah. And Muhammad Ali taught him how to box.
Yeah.
When you stuff like that.
Yeah, he played a pretty good part. Yeah.
He took it to a theater stage play. But when we talk about film, like we had talked about before, Henry, about the first film, The Boxing Cat, you know, that they did it, the Black Maria box up there in New Jersey, ain't that right?
Oh, yeah, that was, I think we did a segment on that, you know, about a year and a half ago, you know, the first boxing films, you know, with Thomas Edison, you know, and Jim Corbett, and you know, and they had, you know, right. it was only a few minutes long, you know, I mean, the whole fight, but, you know, people were amazed at it because they never seen anything like it, you know. So,
yeah,
but,
you know, the early guys during that era, as you're saying, Henry, a lot of them were caught on film, you know. I know from the work we're doing with the Jack Johnson is that Jack Johnson put a lot of African Americans on film. He put some Negro League baseball players from the Kansas City team on film, you know, and plus they were using film to take it on the stage. You know,
uh-huh.
They said film and boxing on the stage. I guess eventually that's how boxing end up on the stage because they said in boxing there's so much theater happening. Isn't that right, Edry? You know, around boxing, it makes a thing for a great movie and it makes for a great theater play. When you really look into the characters, I call all of us characters in boxing because all of us are characters. and
one way or another,
so
you know.
Yeah, another. We're all characters, and everybody in boxing has a storyline, and great storylines. That's what carries theater, film, and drama. So it just takes somebody with a good mindset and a good pen, and to write about it and write the script. You know, some of the great, you know, things like Vinny Pazienza. What he went through in a car accident, and to put that kind of stuff on film, you know, it's unbelievable, you know, to have this story because film lasts a long time, you know, and it's inspirational to see how this young man, with all of these problems in his body, he still overcame them and fought. You know, I was in a car accident. I know how it is. I couldn't walk for 10 days. So I could just imagine what he went through and climb back in the ring. You talk about nuts and guts, man.
Vinny is that way. We see him down Atlantic City a couple of years ago.
Yeah, just amazing guy to overcome that, you know. And that's what movie and drama is all about. But we have 60 seconds. Henry, you want to say something in closing?
No, it was nice to come on tonight and talk about the old movies and talk about, you know, what the boxing people are doing for the ex-fighters and ex-boxing people. And it's nice to know that the boxing, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, a lot of people have bad things to say about boxing, but I think the people in boxing are more of a family than just about any other sport. We try to stay together. You know, they tear each other inside the ring, but after the fight, you know, they give each other hugs and everything like this. So it's a great sport.
And You want to say anything in closing?
Well, no, it was a nice show, and it was great talking about the old movies. And if you bored anybody at home wanting to check it out, it's a good Saturday night to watch a good boxing movie. And we'll hopefully have some more good news next week. It was, you know, we're seeing where we're going, and we're going to figure it all out by the time we get through this. So thanks again for listening.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And our magic man taking us on the carpet ride around the world, Bob Murray. And our great boxing historian, thank you, Henry Hascott. What a great job. We love you. Do so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella.